I'm Dr. William Lamb, and I am the host for Surfcast, and welcome to Surfcast. It is summer in Tennessee. My friend Tyler is with us in Studio 22. Hey, Tyler, how you doing, buddy?
Doing well. How are you?
Doing well. So you're normally on the other side of the keyboard. Are you doing all the recording and editing and all of that stuff, right?
Yes, sir.
So how does it feel to be on this side?
I feel like a star.
You are a star, Tyler. You're awesome, man. So, hey, guys, we're going into the summer here, as I mentioned to you on Surfcast. And so we're going to kind of, we're still going to be out every other Friday. You'll catch us on Surfcast. We're available now on Podbean, also on Spotify, also on Apple. And so wherever you can find podcasts, you can find us. One word, Surfcast. We'll be right back. We're going to talk about Life Verse, correct?
Yes, sir. Right. Looking forward to it.
All right, so Tyler, this episode is going to be a lot shorter than normal. So we normally have about a 45-minute show, and we talk about faith, leadership, and service. But today we're going to talk about life verses, right?
Yes, sir.
Why did you come up with this idea? Why did you come up with this topic?
I think, like, especially for you being such a experienced person.
I'm getting old, and that's his way of saying that you're the old guy.
Yeah, I just kind of want to know, like, I was curious, and I talked with some other people at the office, and we were just all curious, like, what's the verse that's kind of been, like, your theme
for
your life?
Sure,
and so
sure.
That's kind of the idea.
Yeah, no problem. I can shoot for that, man, you know? So there's been a couple of passages of Scripture over the years that have really kind of set the trajectory, I guess, of my life and where I'm headed, and prior to coming to the university, I was working in local church work for a long time, and when I was back in local church work, there was a passage of Scripture in Matthew 22:37-39 that's very interesting. And so I'm just going to read it for you because I think it kind of gives a little bit better perspective, and I think it would be helpful for people to be able to hear exactly what the verse is saying, because it's talking about our relationship with God and also, you know, how we should be relating to other people. But it's a really cool passage. Let me read it for you now. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it, that you should love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all of the law of the prophets. And so what I think the Scripture really is an insight to me is because it talks about my responsibility to care for other people. Tyler, you and I were not created to live in isolation. We were created to live in community. So for those persons who are in isolation, either internally or maybe they are even living in an isolated place themselves, you know, in the practical sense, right? It's not really what we're intended to be. We're intended to thrive in community and to grow together in community. And there has to be that principle that if God's going to trust us with breath, which he did, then we're going to have to be responsible with that breath. And part of that is the necessity to love God and to love others well. So in my youth group, I had a tagline. Now, you know, I'm a tagline kind of guy. You've heard me talk. I'm an acronym. I like word pictures and acronyms and all of that, right? So I had a tagline back in the day that I thought was really fitting for that. Love God unashamedly. Love others unconditionally. What does that mean to you, Tyler?
I guess be bold with your faith.
Yeah.
And be consistent.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. And I think that was the intent back in the day, was to just simply say, I'm going to be unashamed of my faith. You know, now there are times when I get a chance to go speak in various places, and there's times when I don't even really mention the Bible. I don't mention God, you know. I'm unashamed in my faith, but there's times I don't necessarily push that down people, you know. At the same time, I'm unashamed in how I approach that. And the next passage that really speaks to me is Jude 22. It's just one chapter, so when I say Jude 22, is chapter 1, verse 22. And it's a simple passage, and it says, and some have compassion, making a difference. And so when I talk about that, and I relate the Matthew 22:37 through actually 40, and I relate the connection to Jude 22, and I talk about, as I love God and I love other people, then I'm going to be responsible to exemplify compassion to them. And so when I talk about compassion, I think about the reality that Compassion kind of requires a mobilization for me. It's different than pity. So let's say you have a really bad day and I feel sorry for you, right? Oh, man, I'm sorry, man. Your day was terrible, right?
We all have them.
We have them, yeah. I mean, it's terrible. It's like, you know, I say sips. You guys have another word for it, you know, but it just, it stinks, right? And so, you know, but when I say, hey, man, what happened today? And I inquire of you and let you tell me what's going on in the day, the difficulties of your journey, then I have compassion to say, let me walk with you and let me make this journey alongside of you.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. So talk to me about your generation. What does your generation need from people like me who have been around the loop for a while, as it relates to this whole idea of authentic living and, you know, being an example in the way of owning something from Scripture that we can apply to our life?
Well, I don't want to claim to be like a spokesperson for my entire generation, but the first thing that comes to mind is I think we want wisdom. I think we want the experience. We want the stories. We want the lessons learned that we don't have to go through. We want to hear that, but we don't want, I don't know, traditionalism shoved down our throat, which I feel like is what a lot of times your generation gets wrong with ours, is that it's just kind of, it's placed on us. It's like almost burdened on us the way that you guys have done things and think we should continue to do things. What we do want is the life lessons learned, like, which is what you share, but without the, I don't know, imposing nature of, I mean, it's a whole like wineskin thing. A lot of times is like the, you know, get rid of the old wineskin. Like it's what matters is the wine, not the skin around it. So I think, I don't know if that makes sense, but in the way that you have compassion, the way that you care about younger people, I think us younger people want the stories. We want the wisdom. We want the learning and the teaching we can get from you, but without the, I don't know, imposing nature about it. I don't know if that makes sense.
Sure. Yeah. I think I'm following you, you know, but I think the other reality too, at times, is that the imposing nature, you know, depending on who is putting that pressure, you know, I call it pressure, right? So yeah. I can't require my children when they're all grown now and they're married and I've got a grandbaby, my wife and I celebrate, you know, all of that. But I couldn't require my children. There'd never be a day that I'll be able to require that my, you know, grandbaby Everly, you know, would love the Lord. But I want to create the expectancy that you need to at least acknowledge the need for the Lord. You know, is that, let's just be candid today. Is that difficult for you as you know, in your generation of millennials, is that hard whenever we try to, you know, man, I'm not trying to make you love God, but at the same time, I'm trying to make you really love God. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And I think just the principle of if you really do love God, you should impose that to a certain degree on people. You should want them to love God. You should try to direct them to love God, because if it's really something that you believe in, like, that's the only option, really. So that doesn't offend me at all. And I don't think it offends most people, but it's I think it becomes like, I don't know, especially with my generation, there's a lot more moral fluidity.
Sure.
and up to your own interpretation, live how you think is best kind of vibe about like the way that the Christians around me live versus probably like a much more black and white, straightforward for older generations, from what I can tell. I'm also young, so I don't know.
Sure.
So I think in that sense, people don't want to be imposed upon because they want to kind of choose for themselves and they want to choose their faith for themselves and make it their own. But at the same time, there needs to be a certain level of, if you really believe in your faith the way that you say you do, you should be pushing it on other people, not forcing it down their throat, but saying, hey, this is really what I think is the best way to live for you. And this is really what I think will set you free.
Sure. And I think part of the challenge is to help people discover for themselves, but at the same time, don't make it so easy that it loses its value. You know, there's a great teaching by a friend of ours here at Lee University, Dr. Terry Cross, and he talks about, you know, cheap grace. And he talks about the reality that what it cost Jesus, you know, it cost him his life, man. Bottom line, it cost him his life. And so, you know, I think that for me, and again, I'm like you, I can't speak for all the aged people in my category now, you know, but I think one of the things that I learned years ago, Mike Hayes, I didn't hear it from him directly. He told my son, who was at one point in one of his classes, and he said, don't ever let anybody tell you what to think. Listen to them to learn how to, the process of thinking. Hmm. You know, so my son came home and he's like, Dad, you know, you can't tell people what to think, but you can sure teach them how to think. And I thought, what's an incredible comment, right? That's a great statement. That's great advice because, you know, the job is to help people to discover for themselves this faith journey. Let's take a test on the air. You want to take a test?
Certainly.
On the air? You ready?
Sure.
So it's a true false test.
Okay.
And there's three questions, right?
All right.
And so let's do question number one. If you're in São Paulo, Brazil, and you flush the toilet is going to go counterclockwise down the drain. True or false?
True.
This is true. Yeah. So if you're listening to us today, go figure it out for yourself, right? Let's take another one. This one's a little bit difficult. So if a cow were to bite you with its upper teeth, might be poison and you could die. True or false?
What's throwing me off is the upper teeth part.
Yeah.
Upper teeth, not just teeth.
Upper teeth.
I want to say no. Why would a cow be poisonous?
But yeah, well, they don't even have teeth at the top, right?
Oh.
So there you go. right? So there you go. Question number three.
All right, two for two.
Question number three. True or false? A virgin gave birth to a baby.
True.
So when you think of it that way, we all need a filter. We need a filter in life. Life gives to us a lot of different perspectives and ideas and thoughts. And so I think what maybe I'm screaming from my generation to your generation is to prevent the demise in the next generation. Because unfortunately, what my generation has permitted or allowed has become common practice for yours. So what one generation permits, the next generation typically will do in excess. So what will happen to the next generation following you?
Scary things.
Exactly. So, yeah. So when we yell at you about the scripture, right? When we yell at you about life verses, when we yell at you about life lessons, or when I do, it's really intended to say, step back, let the scripture become a strainer to you. You know.
Like a lens to look through.
Yeah, a lens to look through, man. You know? So that whenever you can hear something that might not sound like it makes sense or might not sound that it's true, such as a virgin giving birth to a baby in the case of Mary and Jesus, right? How incredible would it be if we actually went to the scripture first as a strainer to be able to identify how we might should live our life?
That's good.
So, you know, when you talk about life verse, that's kind of where I'm at, is I have some life verses, and I want people to know that we were created for community. We were not created for isolation. We were created to exhibit compassion and to care for other people. That is not going to be free. It is going to cost us. There are times in life when compassion requires tremendous amount of sacrifice on the person expressing the compassion. My friend Gary Riggins identifies trust as a risk survived. And trust a lot of times gets broken. And when it does, it causes tremendous difficulty and tremendous pain. And unfortunately, we live in a society where that's just a common part of life, you know, that people don't hold up to their word. They just break their word. They break their trust or whatever the case may be. And so I think when we look at that, for me, it's learning to live in community, learning to be compassionate, making my love for God first so that my love for other people can be modeled not by my human ability, but by his divinity working through my humanity. When that happens, then I can really understand that because I love God and because I love other people, my only real option is to be compassionate. and when I'm compassionate, it really does make a difference for the people on the other end of the street. So as we head into summer and we head into a little bit of an abbreviated version of Surfcast, and we'll be back full stream in the fall, you'll still catch us here, but I want you just to contemplate what's going on in your life that you might need to share with somebody else. What life verse can you apply so that it can become a model that you can actually help others to identify? We're in summer honors this week at Lee University, and so I get a chance every morning from 9 to 11 to sit with 30 students who are, you know, summer going back to high school, summer going straight into college, and it's a summer intensive program for students. And so the exciting thing as I sit with them and listen to them is I'm watching how these students are basically learning new concepts, new ideas, but they're actually learning how to apply those new concepts and how to apply those new ideas. And so as I end up this episode today, which is much briefer than normal, I want to encourage you, figure out a way in which you can apply what you learn. I ask these students, Tyler, every day, what did you learn yesterday? Let me just ask you, what did you learn yesterday? Anywhere, like in driving down the road, in the drive-through, in a class, whatever you were, right? Wherever you was at, give me a concept or give me an idea or give me something that you learned yesterday.
What did I learn yesterday?
Quick and easy.
Quick and easy? Can I do what did I learn 2 days ago?
Sure.
Well, we were going out to lunch a couple days ago, and you told me to always write down at the end of the day what you learned that day. And that is a thing that I learned. And if I had applied it, which we found out now,
you would
have. I would have known what I learned yesterday.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Why didn't you apply it, man?
Well, I didn't know that that I would be so exposed, and I guess there's no choice but to apply it now.
This is true. We may revisit that again later, but great example, great example. And so, you know, I ask my students every day, what did you learn? And then they tell me, you know, unlike you, because they wrote it down,
right?
You know, but they tell me what they learned yesterday. Now, Tyler, let me get the pressure off of you, right? Whether you write it down, you know, on a note on your phone or write it on a piece of paper or just inscribe it in your memory, right? Just make sure you can somewhere at least get back to it. And so when I ask these students that and they tell me, you know, then I ask them another question. How are you going to apply what you learned? And so I think when we look at scripture and we look at things like favorite verse or life verse or transformational experience or whatever the case may be, it's all about learning well so we can teach well. We learn well so we can apply it, so we can model it, so someone else can learn from it. So from my generation that probably could have done better in modeling for your generation, let me encourage your generation to surely model better for my granddaughter's generation that's coming around the corner.
I hear you.
Have a great day. We'll catch you next time on Surfcast. Enjoy your summer.